Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, February 23rd, 2015. And with me today, I have, using John's favorite term, the A-Team. John Martellaro, how are you?
Hey, good morning. Nice to be here again.
It's great to have you. And Kelly Gumont, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, thanks. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing great. And it's awesome to have both of you guys here. And before we hop into the topics, I'm totally pimping stuff that I have coming up. First,
let's play Where's Jeff?
That's right, Where's Jeff? And in this case, how busy is Jeff's May going to be? Very busy. I'm giving one of the keynote presentations at the ACES conference in New Orleans, which is coming up right before Memorial Day. And that's a conference for Apple consultants. And it looks like that's going to be a pretty awesome event, 2-day event happening in May. I'll have a link to that in the show notes. So come out and see me speak. It'll be awesome to get to see people in person. And right after I get back from that, then I turn around and head over to Denver Comic Con, which is very exciting because it's no secret that I'm into comics, just like you, Kelly.
I know. I'm very excited about this news.
I think it's pretty cool. So come see me at Denver Comic Con. I will be hosting celebrity interviews throughout the weekend. So that's actually happening on Memorial Day weekend. So I know you don't have anything planned yet. Put it on your schedule. Come see me at ACES Conference, and then come see me at Denver Comic Con. And I'm looking forward to seeing everyone there. I'll make sure there's links to both in the show notes. So there you go. Busy May for me.
Indeed.
But very fun and exciting May. All right, so things that I wanted to take a look at today. We have a couple topics, and they just kind of fit together really well. And so the first topic that I want to jump into, well, actually, I'll tell everyone what it is that inspired today's show. And it's two pieces. One that you wrote, John, it was your particle debris column on Friday, which, by the way, I absolutely love. Thank you for taking the time to write that every week.
Oh, cool.
So in Friday's particle debris, you talk about how we have this climate now where we have companies that are going beyond what's even remotely reasonable and breaching the trust of their customers in very bad ways. And Kelly, you wrote a piece about this whole fiasco that Lenovo, the laptop maker, has found itself in because they were installing a pretty nasty software package called Superfish on their laptops, which essentially Indeed. Opened up a wonderfully big door for hackers to get into your computer. And they knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. So these are the two pieces that I saw, and I was like, yep, I think this is something that we really need to dive into today.
Well, it all started last week, of course, for me with Lenovo in the news. Mm-hmm. Brian Chaffin wrote about it. Glenn Fleischman wrote about it. It was all over in the news. And what's surprising about this is that companies that provide us with products, some of them seem to feel that because they're delivering the product, they have a right to do with it as they please for their own ends and their own gain. And it's in stark contrast to what Tim Cook has been hammering on us so hard and so long, especially at the government's security conference, where he was the only CEO, by the way, about how customer trust is so very important to a company's well-being. The Electronic Frontier Foundation responded to the Lenovo adware Superfish thing. Quote, "This represents such a profound breach of trust by Lenovo against their customers that I suspect a lot of people will be reevaluating their decision to purchase ThinkPad computers." So I haven't seen any numbers on their sales. It's too early for that. But this could really undo a company, especially since they're a Chinese company.
And I'm not one to wish people harm, but I kind of hope it does. I really hope that this ends up being the proverbial straw that broke the hacker's back. And finally, like, a customer is going to say, you know what? Like, this is the thing that we know about. And I have no idea what you are doing that I don't know about. And the unknown unknown is the thing that is going to cause me to pull the trigger, and I'm going to buy laptops from someone else from now on. And I want that to be a big name company. I want Bank of America to stop using Lenovo products or whatever. You know, somebody that would be a significant piece of their business to come out publicly and say, you know, this is six varieties of shenanigans and our tolerance level is 5. You're out.
I heard, but that I did not see the tweet from Hewlett Packard making fun of Lenovo.
I'm kind of glad that happened. There's a Twitter account that is Swift on Security, I think it's called, and it's InfoSec, which is short for Informational Security. InfoSec Taylor Swift.
Which is a really funny account.
It is very funny, and the thing about it is that, like, everything tweeted by it is completely legit. That's the thing to me that's really entertaining about it, and that's why I follow it. And the tweet from that account said, let me be clear. There is no way Lenovo had no idea what it was doing or exactly what was happening when it set all this stuff up to be pre-installed. And that's the truth. Lenovo can say, oh, gosh, we had no idea about the thing with the stuff over there. But they knew.
They never said they didn't know. They dismissed it as a non-issue.
Well, and the other thing that they did was they never – so there's two pieces to this that are the reason that it's nasty. So here's the way the Superfish thing breaks down. Superfish is a piece of software. And it does a particular thing. And what it does is insert shopping suggestions. I think that's the official PR-friendly term for what they were doing, into web searches. The second piece is that it was installing what's called a root certificate, a self-signed root certificate that allowed your computer to enable this software to make those shopping suggestions, whether or not you were using a secure session or not. So, you know, sometimes when you log into a website, once you give it a password, everything says HTTPS, mm-hmm. or you get a little green lock next to it.
Basically, it's a sanctioned man-in-the-middle attack for advertising.
Exactly. And here's the thing is, because of the way this is set up, anybody that wants to can act like they are a site that is not the site you mean to be at. So because I said Bank of America earlier, I'll use them again. You go to log into Bank of America. You go to log into their website for whatever it is. You have a bank account there. You have a credit card from them. You go to log in, and it is very easy for a hacker to build a site that looks like Bank of America but is not Bank of America. And this self-signing certificate makes it so that anyone that wants to can build this, and your computer isn't going to say, oh, gosh, you know what? This says it's Bank of America, but really it's Jimmy's house of skimmed credit card numbers. Are you sure you want to do this?
There's nothing that makes that a problem. It makes me wonder, Kelly, about Lenovo's technical competence, because it's one thing to install something that achieves a goal for you. It's another thing for you to, as a corporation, size up the risk that you're creating for the customer. And if they were very, very technically astute, they would have concluded that the technical risk to the customer was too great to do this.
Well, and I think the problem is a lot of companies who go into something like this, like, they probably knew this is what was happening. Like, I have no doubt somebody there knew that this is what was happening. I think the piece that nobody from Lenovo spoke about, they trotted out some high-level officials to go talk to Bloomberg News, I think it was, and the Wall Street Journal and talk about this problem. And none of them were talking about the certificate problem and that the certificate was, in fact, the issue. And initially when Lenovo came out and said, here's how you disable the software, well, that was their second response. Their first response was, you know, we figured out this was a bad idea and we turned those servers off in January. So there's no reason to be concerned because mm-hmm. the servers that stuff is supposed to be talking to don't run anymore. Well, that was wave one. Wave two was, well, we've turned off the servers, so that shouldn't be an issue. And here's how you disable Superfish if you have it on your computer. And then the third piece of it was, once everybody figured out, but you're still leaving the security, the certificate in there, which is the whole security problem in the first place. And then finally, the third response from Lenovo was removal instructions for this certificate, so that if you are going to someplace you don't mean to go, you will get an alert like you do now. And you know, it was fascinating to watch that evolve.
Kelly, I've been kind of down this road, and I can't tell you where or how or when, but what happens is the executives sign off on something because they think the top-level accomplishment is okay. And then when the shit hits the fan, they go to the technical people and say, what's really going on here? And they have a meeting. And the technical people fill them in, and it scares the hell out of them. And they say, well, what do we have to do to fix this? And then the technical people tell them what they have to do to undo it all. And then they get more mm-hmm. and more nervous and sweaty. Yep. And they go, really? Really? We can't do that. We can't say that. We don't want to do that. Oh, and the engineers say, well, this is what we have to do to undo it. And the managers say, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'll talk to the press and we'll gloss over. And then behind the scenes, they figure out what they're going to do.
Well, and the thing that's fascinating to me about this in particular is that, you know, and as these things continue to happen, they will be more public. They will be more obvious. And the information spreads faster than ever before. Because the reason all of this came apart was not because the software was discovered, not because somebody discovered the agreement, that there was this agreement that was happening, that this is the stuff that's going on within the software. It's that somebody found out about this root certificate that had signed itself. So
it was discovered by Google, right? Yeah. And a University of Washington researcher jointly.
This is the security equivalent of being the king in the king of the north. I'm secure because I say so. And we all know that's crap. So the thing to me that was interesting about this was that people found this and then discovered the password to it and then found out that the engine behind the Superfish software that was installed is also the engine behind other things. So
it gets worse.
Yeah, the plot sickens, as I'm fond of saying. And here's sort of the best bit of the whole thing, is this thing is called Commodia, K-O-M-O-D-I-A, Commodia. And Commodia, the engine behind this that allows these sorts of things to happen, is the engine in a number of pieces of parental control software. So the thing that's supposed to keep you safe from bad guys and keep people in your family who may be less technically savvy from ending up giving their credit card to Jimmy's stolen credit card number shack instead of Bank of America, this is negating all of that. And that, to me, is the thing that's impressive. Now, what I'm glad about as a person on this side of that sort of flaw is that all of these people are out there. All of these people are communicating openly and freely and staking it out and saying, did you know this? Let me show you how this works. It took me 90 seconds. I threw a web page together to give you all the information you need with all the links. Here you go. And that information spread all through Thursday and Friday, and even on Saturday I saw people discussing it. And so I'm glad that this is a thing that can happen in this day and age, because I'm not – basically because I'm not Lenovo. I'm not somebody trying to perpetuate this as a blatant – grab for money from people whom I'm already taking money from. Like, it wasn't enough that you paid me for the computer. I'm going to have to find another way, because the computer business, unless you are a certain six-color Cupertino company that just hired our buddy Chris Breen, if you're not those guys, you're basically up a creek without a paddle.
Now, and financially. But it gets worse now because...
It gets worse.
Yeah, because we have Lenovo in a position where not only have they put themselves in a place where people can no longer trust them, They are
fundamentally,
they are creating an environment where people are not going to feel like they can trust any computer maker.
Exactly.
And this isn't the first time we've had to deal with something like this. Do you remember the Sony rootkit? Because didn't trust us to not steal the music off the CDs that we had already bought.
Yeah, if you put it in a computer. For people who don't remember rootkit, I believe it was a Celine Dion record. I don't remember what else.
Yeah, there were several, but I think it was first discovered with a Celine Dion record.
Yeah, there were like a half dozen all told that Sony was using to sort of try this new form of DRM. And if you took that CD and you dropped it in your iMac, it would. And the reason I remember this being an iMac very vividly is because that was the only slot loading machine at the time. And you slid the Celine Dion CD into the slot in your iMac, and you may not get it back. And one of the delightful side effects of rootkit was that it could brick your computer.
Sony wasn't really concerned until later when it really became a huge thing in the media.
Yeah, and then my favorite part was, if I'm recalling this correctly, the way to defeat the rootkit DRM was to take the CD before you put it in your iMac, turn it over, and color the bottom with a green marker.
Right, I remember that.
Oh, man. Yeah, good times.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Well, you know, it even gets worse than that, because it's one thing for a corporation to do something deceptive with what it delivers to you. It's another thing for governments to start throwing lightning bolts at each other on a massive scale. One of the articles I pointed to in Particle Debris was an Ars Technica article by Dan Gooden about what is apparently an awesomely sophisticated software development effort by an unknown organization, a nation state with apparently unlimited resources. You can maybe guess who that might be. And it was the Kaspersky Group in Russia that slowly detected what was going on and started digging deeper and deeper and deeper. And they found that software had been developed by this country, which could so deeply percolate into your system that a DoD erase of the hard disk couldn't get rid of it.
Okay, that's just creepy.
Yes. And there were lots of different ways that this software was being disseminated. Cisco routers that were being shipped would be intercepted and the software modified and then delivered. CDs that were being mailed to people from conferences would be intercepted and the software would be inserted on their CD. And the software is so deep and so deceptive, it's almost undetectable. And it is unbelievably sophisticated, more sophisticated than any software you could believe that anybody could ever write in terms of hacking into your computer, residing there, reporting back, and being undetectable.
Now, the Cisco router thing I found to be especially disturbing when I first heard about that, because that took something where you would assume that you'd be safe, because you could buy a Cisco router directly, network switch, whatever, directly from the company, have it shipped directly to you, and it would show up shrink-wrapped, and you'd think it's fine. But in the meantime, it was being intercepted, in some cases, by U.S. government agencies, who were then unwrapping the package and then installing their spy software onto the firmware of this router, packaging it back up, and then professionally shrink wrapping it so you don't know that it had been out of the box. So when you get it, you think it's exactly what you purchased, but it in fact is not.
And here's the thing, is if you're buying something like this, by and large, you are buying it for managing a network in your home. For example, if you're a home user, you're using it to manage your home network. And one of the features of this, of a router or network switch, one of the common features is security. It gives you like a minor firewall, you know, a little bit, you know, just a tiny bit of protection. And, you know, for most people's home network, that's all you need. But if for some people, that's the thing they're buying it for. you know, I need two of these, one so I can route outside of my home network and one for inside my home network, because I work from home and sometimes my stuff I want to make sure is super secure, you know, so I'm setting up a DMZ, you know, within my network. And that kind of stuff, like, for people who are purchasing these for security reasons and going with Cisco as opposed to another company, because I know that Cisco has a reputation for security, because I know Cisco makes a lot of enterprise hardware and does a lot of networking for a lot of big shot companies whose names I would totally recognize. You know, when you're buying it for that reason and then it turns out that you got one of these intercepted routers, that to me is just even more mind-blowing.
One of the things I learned from one of the other articles I posted was that governments, when they want to do something, know no limits. If they want to break in somewhere, I mean, it's just not just a matter of supercomputers breaking AES 256-bit encryption. It is a question of massive assaults with sophisticated software to the point where even the professionals have a hard time resisting it. One of the articles was about how apparently American and British hackers broke into the Gemalto Corporation, a firm in the Netherlands, which makes the SIM chips that we all use.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to ask yourself, you know, there seem to be no limits on what the governments feel justified in doing, you know, in acquiring information.
And the software, Facebook screwing up your contacts.
The software has become so sophisticated that it is impossible to, even for major corporations to resist it. And so governments are assaulting governments. Like the recent apparent Chinese compromise of Anthem and 80 million accounts.
So basically what you're saying is we're at the point now where if you want to know for certain that you have an absolutely secure computer, what you have to do is go out to the beach and start scooping up sand and start from there.
You may be safe from hackers.
Pretty much.
Hackers. You're safe from small-time people. You're safe from, you know, low-level entities and governments. But when it comes to nation-state sophistication, whether it's Russia, China, or America, the resources that they have available to them and the sophistication of the software is much greater than we could have ever dreamed.
Well, that's reassuring.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that happy note, we
sleep
are
tight,
out of time.
Kids.
Yeah, sleep tight. Yeah, we have to wrap up. We are out of time. And even though this was kind of a creepy, scary subject, I'm glad we dove into it because I have a feeling there's a lot that we touched on that that people needed to have explained. So thank you, both of you, for spending the time today to help sort that out.
And scary, man. Scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, awareness helps, you know, as long as we're doing what we can to shine a light on this, maybe somebody will end up more educated by the time we're done and be more aware of this kind of thing happening regularly. And maybe that will help. It may not help stop any of that, but on the upside, at least people might be more aware and be able to counteract accordingly.
Sure. And as G.I. Joe said, knowing is half the battle.
I know.
Yes. So, hey, come see me at the ACES conference, May 20th and 21st, and then come
see me. It's in New Orleans, people. That's not a hard sell.
It's not a hard sell. New Orleans is an awesome place. I have spent a lot of time there, and I love it. So I'm looking forward to having the opportunity to go back and then spend time with a bunch of totally awesome consultants from all around the country. And then only a couple of days later, May 23rd through 25th, come see me at Denver Comic Con. It's going to be an awesome event. A lot of really cool industry celebrities will be there, and I'm looking forward to the interviews that I'm going to get to conduct. No, I can't tell you who those are yet.
Oh.
I know, but, you know,
anticipation.
And thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in yet again. We will see you all tomorrow.
Hey, Kelly. Later, wizard.